outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Journey.
Well, Wayne, you're going to need to swing back by Sheridan, Wyoming on your way back to California.
So you need me to teach some more classes?
Well, I mean, yes, that would be a great bonus, but our very, very, very heavy apple tree, it's been saturated with apples, and we didn't know whether or not the apples were going to be any good. Anyway, turns out they are really good, and we've made a lot of homemade apple butter, and I think we need to send a jar back with you to California because it's amazing.
Okay, well, I promise you we're not going to swing by Sheridan. We're going to Coeur d'Alene and then points westward from there and work our way home.
Okay. So yeah. Where are you currently at?
We are in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
And okay.
Had a great weekend with a whole lot of people. So Sarah's pretty tired. I am actually got worn out yesterday myself. So
wow.
Yeah, it was just quite a bit of connecting with people, some of the 2x2 folks and just some other a church there that's trying to shift from a more institutionalized service to a more relational kinds of gatherings with each other and exploring what all that means. So I've been reading Finding Church and wanted to talk to me about some stuff there. And then the afternoon, Sarah and I shared the trauma story we were in and had a lot of people who are also dealing with trauma in their lives, had a lot of questions for us. So
wow,
it was a fun day.
It sounds like a very full day, emotionally stretching day.
It was taxing. We were ready to be done. We just came back to the trailer, that kind of thing.
So when you hit a day where you are feeling emotionally tired or spent from people, how do you recharge? Because I know Sarah like does quiet time, garden. She removes herself from audiences. How do you recharge?
Removing myself from audiences helped. It's just okay. Sarah and me and the puppies here, and we just did some reading and relaxing in the evening. Tried to watch some TV, but I'm telling you what, I couldn't connect with any story. I just kind of sat there and go, what's going on, babe? And so I finally got to bed and got a good night's sleep, so feel a lot better this morning.
Sleep schedule's been better or still fighting sleep schedule?
No, it's been better now. I'm off the this is my week off the chemo, so. That's okay. A better week. Doing all right.
Very nice. Well, I'm Kyle Rice.
And I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And welcome to the God Journey.
There you go, Kyle. You did it all on your own. Look at you.
I know. Look at that. It only took 4 years.
Well, Toby and I finally came up with a title for our new book.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, the one we're dealing with justice and righteousness and the flip on that whole thing. We've come up with, and I forget who gave us this, actually. I've had some people pre-reading it, give us some feedback on the book. And
yeah,
we've come up with Just Love, which has a double meaning. The subtitle, Why Jesus Saves You. Because it really is a very different take on the purpose of salvation and how it works out in our life. And it's not just a matter of getting a get-out-of-hell-free card, but invited into the kingdom of God and justice in the earth. And I don't mean social justice. I know people get all upset about that. We're talking about being just life by the way we treat people and the way we walk with people and how all that happens through Jesus making it just. Mm. But the process of justification, which most of us Protestants have just kind of shuttled off to justified. We were declared righteous, so I'm good no matter how I treat people. Instead of, Jesus actually wants to make you just. And faith will do that. Love will do that. So we're excited about it. I've got the manuscript in my lap now. It came in from Toby. He was working on it recently. So now it's in my lap. But I don't know how, at least so far on this trip, I have very little time to work on the book. So I may wait till I get home.
So what is kind of your timeline for the book being ready to go to print and be out there in the world?
We're hoping by December, but
okay.
We don't know for sure because it depends on how much rewriting I do. Then it goes back to Toby, make sure it's all copacetic. And then we start turning it over to editors and production people to get it ready.
Okay.
In the meantime, people can read It's Time, Letters to the Bride of Christ at the End of the Age. Part 2 is out. The audio should be out by the time this airs. We hope that's true. It'll be on the blog when it is at lifestream.org. But nice. I'm really excited. I love the reactions we're getting from people. I love the buzz that's happening in the publishing world.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. What is the buzz in the publishing world?
I'm getting lots of email from people who have read the book, who say lovely things about the book. And then, of course, they're writing me because they would like to help get the book out there.
Yeah.
Which would cost us something. But we're happy to take a look at all that and figure out where's best for us to maneuver this title. I've never had that kind of thing with any title that I've done, especially this one, which we've done almost no promotion on it. And it's amazing how people overseas and people in the U.S. are really interested in this book and helping it find an audience.
Hmm. I think that's one of the things that I love about the new generosity of information movement. And it's been going on for a little while, but putting good content out there and not necessarily making people pay a ton of money for it initially, but just that generosity of, hey, this is something that I want to put out in the world, and where does it land and how does it connect with people and supportive audiences? And I love that. I love just how that builds and the momentum that can be created there. And
cool. Best thing you heard this week, Kyle?
Oh, man. So it ties into, I think, what we might get into a little bit more today, but been having some lovely conversations. So when you were out here, we connected with some of the individuals that were part of the 2x2 movement and actually got to have a follow-up lunch with one of them. And that was really good.
Wow.
And just got to really enjoy some additional conversation. And then my wife and I, we... total God thing, total God space, connected with a couple that's here in Sheridan. And it's developing into one of those friendships where both the husband and the wife really like each other. And that's a rare thing in couples relationships, to find a couple where both parties involved also really enjoy both parties that are involved. And to throw it on top of that, the kids enjoy each other. So all of this was a really good space. While we were sitting around a campfire this weekend with them, the wife made a comment of, this is how God builds community. It just really landed with me because these individuals, I don't think we would have ever met them. And yet the Holy Spirit does what he does in an incredible way. And how we connected to them is I was going to look at a house for my cousin to rent, and they happened to be the owners. And I hit it off with the husband, and we got into a really interesting conversation. But to me, it was just the beauty of the relationship and how God brought it together. And there was nothing that I could have done to make it happen. And yet then we were at a Sunday morning gathering just this last week and bumped into them there. And that led into them sharing a little bit about their story and how they got really burned by another Sunday morning gathering in the area. And man, it just launched into this really cool space of community and connection and friendship. And it was so affirming to my heart to hear somebody who is still pretty tied to needing to go to a Sunday morning gathering really recognize just the uniqueness of how God can bring his bride together, even if it's not necessarily within the four walls of a traditional institution. He can use them, but like that he's still moving outside of it.
Yeah, beautiful.
So it was super cool. What about you?
Yeah, best thing I heard this week came from, well, I've got about five of them, but so some of them will come up later. But this is the one that I picked out for today. It said, this is from an email of someone who's gone through a similar change in their life from being connected to something and then being outside of it, and said this: I felt like we were jumping into the abyss, not knowing if there was anything to break our fall. I remember stating out loud that the gravitational pull of his love would have to hold me without the religious strings attached. Mm. And now I've floated, suspended in midair for 2 years without religion, but feeling more loved by him than ever.
Mm.
And I love the end of that feeling. I mean, the risk, certainly, when you've found your comfort in a certain way that the church ought to look like, and you've been taught that. And then you just throw yourself into the wind and say, if your love doesn't hold me, I've got nothing else to rely on. And then find that love really does hold you.
I love that. The idea of feeling suspended in the midst of that fall and supported by love. That's a pretty cool picture, man. I really resonate with that a lot.
For 2 years too. This is not a week or two.
Exactly.
In 2 years. Well, you alluded to it earlier. We got an email the last couple of weeks, and Steve wanted us to talk about some things together. So we're going to give it a shot. Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of goes with what we've been talking about already with, where do we find community? Is it in organized gatherings or is it not? And he wrote this. He said, I love the topics and biblical issues you both talk about. In a day of endless podcasts, yours is the only one I listen to. But I'm deeply bothered by a very consistent message that to my ears rips and bashes the church. I'm a pastor at a very healthy, not perfect church in Iowa where amazing things are happening. My daughter and her boyfriend attend a Christ-centered church in Iowa City that is very encouraging to them. My other daughter is in college in Georgia and absolutely loves her church in downtown Savannah. My sister-in-law and her husband are on a large church staff also in the Savannah area that is thriving, and they love and deeply respect the leadership they are under. These are great things happening in the organized church. Reactions?
Oh, when I first read through the email, I just really resonated with some of the concerns that Steve brought up and wanted to honestly intentionally address it because I have bumped into people asking me the same question of, Kyle, are you just against the organized church of Christianity? Are you against the bride of Christ? Are you against Christianity as a whole? And man, for me, this is an interesting space. I'm living in, and I just want to put out a disclaimer right out of the bat. I'm living in a space where God is continuing to untangle and heal my heart in regards to the organizational institution of Christianity. I have had my own journey, my own experiences with it, things that really concern me that in some regards cause my stomach to twist and some feelings of mild nausea come up when I think about some of the spaces and some of the things that are going on. And yet I think it was also a good humbling reminder for me just with this relationship that's coming with this couple that I referred to in the best things that I heard, is they're going to the Sunday morning gathering that Jess and I attend off and on that's here in Sheridan. And the pastor that is the head of the church here, I would say, is just a very grounded, faithful, committed believer in Christ. I've seen him love people well. I've seen him and just continue to consistently live out a desire to explore the heart of Christ. What does it look like to engage with God's word and engage with the community and the bride of Christ around us to serve the community? I've seen him live that out in some pretty cool ways. And so that has been just a reaffirmation and encouragement that even though I still have my own concerns in regards to how a lot of Sunday morning gatherings are run and operated, I also know that God is still very living and active and very much a part of even the Sunday morning, like that he's still engaged and connecting with people in that setting as well. Because especially when I was first coming out of Mosaic and some of those spaces, I was very anti Sunday morning gathering. That was it just to me, it was like, really? Like, this is going to really have much of a benefit in my life at all. And I would say that over the last 15 years, that God has been changing that in my heart, changing my perspective in that, healing some of the, I think, biases that I had coming out of the frustrations and challenges that I experienced there. And so it's been quite a journey. It's, again, it's not that I don't think that God can't move in those spaces and is still moving in those spaces, and that there are healthy communities that are connecting one another, that are creating landing zones for people, landing spaces for people to come together that have a shared heart, a shared mission, and to be able to connect with one another in some really good ways. It's not that I don't think that it can do that, but I definitely still have some concerns. I mean, I even just this last Sunday, I'm sitting in this building and it's a multi-million dollar building on a multi-million dollar piece of property. And I'm like, this is still ran like a corporation. And like literally the person that was speaking this last Sunday, they were talking about the way that Jesus lived his life in the world and the way that he engaged with the population and the way that he connected with people. And he was just really going after that and giving all these examples, because we're in a series right now of what is a Christian. So that's the title of the series right now, which has been very intriguing for me to be a part of. The challenge is he's going about all these characteristics of how Jesus lived his life, the way that he encouraged fellow believers to live his life. And we're sitting in this building doing something, to be bluntly honest, to me, doesn't represent the way that Jesus engaged with people. Like, Jesus would teach and then people would respond and there'd be dialogue and conversation and community and connection. And none of that happens in the Sunday. Like, it's like sitting in a very traditional college classroom, listening to somebody give a lesson, and then we all peace out. And sometimes we talk about it later, you know, like, so I don't know. Like, I know that was a long monologue, but I would love to process and dialogue this with you, because it's something that I'm still wrestling with, still healing from, still having God untangle some of those pieces. What are your thoughts?
If we're going to dialogue, you got to take a breath now and then.
I know. That's fair enough. Now I'm going to get off my box and I will let you respond to all of that.
Yeah, I find it sad that someone who listens as much as he does feels like we rip and bash on the church. The more organized elements of it. And I think we've tried to be very careful, maybe not often enough, to say, if you find life in a more organized setting, that's cool with us. You know, the important thing to me is that people are finding the life of Jesus.
Yes.
Not that whether they go or don't go. And I think the podcast from the very beginning was shaped more to those who've kind of lost their hope that at least the delivery system of organized church that they were a part of was no longer serving them well. And that could have been obviously some authority issues. It could be just programming the way it's done. Unfortunately, I think our institutions gravitate more toward conformity environments than transformational environments. So it's not always acquainting people with love and how God loves them and listening to that love and learning to engage it. It's more following the program, being here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or joining the choir, all the things that one of those things has to make it function well is often not necessarily stimulating the journey inside. Now, I've said often, I visit places where they do it well. I have no reason to doubt that Steve and his family have found some organizations to do it well. I think partly it might be in Iowa, might help in that sense, or smaller communities. I think community churches in smaller communities often have a better environment for community to happen than mega churches in big cities, where it's mostly people you sit with, you're watching a program, you're being entertained by it, you go home.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest concern I have is that conformity versus transformational environment. If that's happening, and we've said that often, and we just need to say it again because Steve's telling it, would you please say there are good things happening there? And there are. I've often said that's where I got my hunger for Jesus, my hunger for scripture. It came from those environments. But there came a time when it didn't serve it as well. And now for my life, I find the relational community, if I'm going to spend a couple hours on a Sunday morning engaging the body of Christ, I'd rather be in a conversation than a lecture.
Yeah.
Now, that may not be true of newer believers. They may find the lecture very helpful to kind of learn some things. So I don't think we've been ripping on that. I think what we rip on is the word religion, which religion is that conformity thing. It's here's the rules, follow the rules. Even I said, and they really respect the leadership they're under. And my yuck meter goes bing, 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 because under. Jesus said, none of us, we're all brothers and sisters. And that rhetoric of leadership over people as a covering or protection or guide, I'm passionate about seeing leadership as equippers of people to live the life of God, not replacements for Jesus, because now they've heard from Jesus, so they're telling the congregation. And the relational dialogues I'm in with people, it's all about their journey. It's not
yeah.
doctrinal topics that we're covering, whether it's what it is to be a Christian or how to lose your anger. And I remember when I was a pastor, we did that. Whatever I was going through, we taught it. And then everybody's supposed to wrestle with that. And it wasn't, what are you going through? What's God teaching you? What trauma are you recovering from? Or what's God showing you? Or where's your need to find Jesus being real in your life? And I like those conversations so much better. But I certainly have no problem with people who have found a more like a Sunday morning meeting or a group of people that you resonate well with, that teaches grace, that doesn't put pressure on you to perform. I just think they're pretty rare. And I think that was the first conversation I had with Steve a couple of years ago. I just think it's rare. It's wonderful when it happens, but it's rare.
Yeah. And I think that's the, I think that's a huge piece for me is the space, because this has been a ongoing dialogue specifically between Jess and I, because Jess doesn't have any of the baggage when it comes to the religion of Christianity or the brand of Christianity. She doesn't really have any baggage like I do. And so like she never aspired to be a pastor. She didn't grow up in the church. I mean, none of those things, like that wasn't any of the things that were a part of her journey. And so she like for her, she's an artist. So going and being able to connect with a group of people that are doing corporate worship, like corporate singing together. She loves worshiping God in that context. And so that's really important to her, you know, and we were just kind of chuckling this last Sunday because one of the other, not the main pastor, but one of the other pastors was speaking yesterday. And as a college professor, I had such a hard time because it's like, I wouldn't take a class from this person. If you know, if I could choose, I would not take a class person. Like it was so.
Well,
like,
I hope he's not listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I hope not either. But I mean, honestly, it was very hard to follow. It was very challenging as somebody who does professional public speaking, teaching, educating, training. It was really tough. It was very, very tough. And I asked Jess and she's like, yeah, that was a rough one.
Okay.
Okay. But then here's the really challenging part. And this is where I am still wrestling. Because again, it's not that I don't think that community and rich conversation and the life of Christ is not happening in more of a structured Sunday morning gathering. Cause I genuinely believe it does. I do think it is more rare, but I genuinely think it is happening. But then the thing that happened afterwards is we get a group of people together. We go and have a barbecue at our house and there's a few families that come over and they're hanging out. And the conversation and the life that happened after that was so good. Like that was what was so hard was it was spontaneous. There was nothing that was being directed. We weren't even there for like a Bible study or to process what we heard in the Sunday morning experience that we had just left. It was just getting together and enjoying company with each other. And that was really powerful. That to me, it was like, okay, that was so meaningful and intentional. I think you pointed out a really good part of it is it wasn't one person focused or one person's journeys focused. It was what's going on in the dialogue of the community that's sitting here enjoying a hamburger. Yeah. And so that's such a different space. And that, like, even as an educator in a college classroom, I mean, you sat in my classroom and been a part of them. I don't lecture. I want to have conversation. I want them to be processing. I want them to be taking the content and really trying to figure out, okay, how do I apply this?
Yep.
Because if it's just me there lecturing, that information is going to go right out of their head. They're not going to remember any of it.
It is. Let's get on to some more Steve's letter. He said, number one, if someone tunes into your podcast who is new to following Jesus and doesn't have the kind of relational resources that both of you deeply enjoy, what are they going to do to find fellowship? Since organized religion doesn't work according to both of you, and I think, again, underline religion, I think the idea that it's organized, we've tried to be very careful about the definitions, and I would think somebody who's listened a lot would know the difference between religion and a Sunday morning gathering. They're not the same thing.
Yes.
Sunday morning gathering can be irreligious or just not involved in the performance base. But I know that everybody talks in that same language because it doesn't work according to both of you. Are they just supposed to stay home and listen to your podcast over and over? Oh, God forbid. That's never what we've encouraged people to do. And then I'm sincerely asking this. I'm begging you for a more balanced view of maybe how do you find a Christ-centered fellowship? What does that look like? What should she be wary of, et cetera?
Ooh, that's good.
I said some good questions there. I think the presupposition is everyone ought to find a Christ-centered fellowship that is an organized Sunday morning church. If that's your desire, and I tell people, ask me, where should I find a church? I just say, you know, slow down. Find love first. Don't think that's what you're going to find in a church. Ask Jesus, what is it about you, your love, that you want to show me so I can live in that space of love? Learn what that means. And then if it's looking for ways to fellowship, like you said, some of the Sunday morning places, if you go there and it's friendly and you end up meeting people and you have, again, real community outside of the meeting where you're in the parking lot or going to dinner together, there's lots of ways to share community. You can find that fellowship around a Sunday morning thing. But don't think you go to a service and go home is any better than sitting at home listening to the God Journey. I think both of those are unacceptable.
I agree with you in that because I think both of those, for example, going to a Sunday morning gathering and being a part of that space, that can be a basic landing grounding zone. But unfortunately, sadly, a lot of those spaces, like you said, start by learning to be loved. And sadly, a lot of those spaces are learn to be loved. And there's a pretty major and that's tacked on to the, if you want to be a part of us, if you want to be a part of this community or this space, we want you to learn how to live in the love of Christ and .. And there's a laundry list of conformity-based type litmus tests that you have to navigate. And this is where my challenge was, is when I encountered you and I encountered the God Journey and I encountered So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore, that was the thing that I was, one of the big things that I was wrestling with is, Lord, I know a bunch of people who are young in their faith, not life-wise, but young in their faith. They're just exploring a conversation with you. And the last place I would send them is the church that I'm pastoring in. That is the last place I would send them to learn how to live in the love of Christ. And that was not good. Like that, to me, that was a major uh-oh.
Yeah, I think that's the language that Steve reacts to the most. The last place I would send them is to a congregation or the one I'm part of. And particularly for a new believer, I wouldn't say, hey, go find a Christ-centered church out there, because I'm not sure they're going to know how to do that. And you can give them guidelines, but I want people to be led by the Spirit, not guidelines from Wayne and Kyle. So if you're looking for a place, look for one that's grace-centered. So it's not teaching law and it's not teaching performance. Look for one that lets you have your journey, not trying to get you involved more in volunteering for this or that or getting. I mean, there's so much work that it takes for most communities to function that the relentless need to recruit volunteers and make people feel bad if they're not. Those are all overlays to our spiritual experience that are deeply concerning to me, particularly for a new believer who doesn't know how loved they are yet. So, and I find people who learn to live loved, who begin to attach to relational community in their neighborhood just by learning to love people and have conversations and surprise, they have a similar faith to yours. And to me, that works all the time. I don't have this thing that if you don't go to a Sunday morning church, you're going to end up sitting at home by yourself every Sunday. I don't worry about that because I've seen it, how it connects with so many people in so many different ways.
Yeah, and I think the space of encouraging people to be out and be relational and say, okay, Lord, who is in my world? Who is in my community that you are inviting me to just build a friendship with? I think that's a big piece of it. That was one of the challenges too, that I think whether it's listening to a podcast or reading a book or going to a Sunday morning gathering, all of them can provide resources They can be a support network. They can make, they can create connections. All of those things can be great advocates, but they're not the piece of how do I learn how to do friendship, to do relationship, to do community with other people. They can be resources to that, but they, to be honest, like they're, it's not going to be the space where you really find and develop those friendships and that space. You have to practice that. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of Sunday morning gatherings even teach that piece, because it's like, okay, we're going to stand up, we're going to sit down, we're going to sing to the music, we're going to read what's on the screen. Oh yeah, and by the way, let's shake hands with the people around you. But that interaction almost entirely, every single time, no matter where I've been at in the world, has been very surface. It is pre-written conversations, it's pre-written responses, it's pre-written handshakes, it's pre-written social structure. There isn't the spontaneous of, how are you doing? Because I know you. And your response of like, well, honestly, it was kind of a hard week. We were struggling with this or struggling with that. Because you only have about 30 seconds to a minute while they're dismissing kids to children's church so that they can pray and then they can move on with their thing.
Yeah. And they're going to interrupt. If you get in a good conversation, they are going to interrupt it, because most correct people, like you said, in a surfacey kind of thing. Let me finish this before we run out of time. He says, yeah, I'm not naive to pain, and I don't disagree with your concerns by any means. 12 years ago, my wife and I were treated terribly by a church, and I resigned as an associate because I didn't want a church split on my resume. I have also been in churches that are largely correct theologically, but shallow or stagnant as well. It's hard. But the church I'm now at for 8 years is experiencing a great move of God, love, play, joy, all the things you described. Mm. But again, I feel if a new believer tuned in, I think they would trust you that no churches like the one I'm involved in even exist in America. And Steve, you've mm-hmm. just told them otherwise. I think I've said that yeah. often. If you can find a place that's full of life and freedom and joy and connection and community, that's a treasure. Enjoy that.
Absolutely.
There'll be no celebrate way we that. Would try to discourage that. So again, he says, I'm a fan. Your topics and thoughts are amazing. Please consider a balanced, hopeful view of a Jesus-filled church that can also be organized and meet on a Sunday morning.
That's the intriguing question that I have, is what does he mean by a balance filled? Because if that means that in more part of my being a balanced, healthy Christian is going to a Sunday morning gathering, that's one of the primary responsibilities or primary elements of that, I don't know if I can get there. Now, can that be a great resource? Yes. Can it be a space that people can absolutely find the life of Christ in and create community in? Absolutely. Jess and I were a part of a fellowship in Los Angeles after we left Mosaic that was incredible. And for the first couple of years that we were there, it was unorganized, it was chaotic, and yet there was so much life and joy in Christ that was happening there. I mean, it was amazing. Mm. But the longer that it went into being in existence, the more formalized, the more structured, the more organized, the more kingdom, worldly kingdom style format it moved into, and the less and the less, and like all the people who really championed the spontaneous life of Christ, we all either got fired or pushed out of the congregation, because the longer that that institution was in place, the more of a corporation it became, and the less of a curious invitation community of people exploring that it began with. And that's one of the things that I really encourage people in regards to how do I explore what it means to find a good community? How do I find safe people? How do I find people to do life with? One of the things that I often encourage them to do is just watch how they respond to questions. Because if you're asking questions and it's held well, and there's generosity there, and there's grace, and there's a shared mutual curiosity together, awesome. That's a great landing zone to be in.
Yep.
But if you ask a question that might challenge an idea, or might be that, again, somebody who is new to the life of Christ, they don't know what landmines they're stepping on. They don't know what theological spaces that they might be crossing, that institutional space. And so if then those questions are not held well, then to me, that would be an indicator of they're leaning harder into more of the religiosity than they are into the life of Christ and the curiosity of what it means to be in relationship with the Almighty God.
That's really good, because I think most bad congregations that I'm aware of, they really dislike awkward questions.
Yes.
They dislike anything that kind of says, we may not be doing it exactly right. And so they push people off like that, which is really true. The other thing I think is part of this is how a managed spiritual journey, and I don't care if you're in a discipleship group or a celebration of discipline, when your discipleship becomes this managed process that we're all following together, whether it's a group of 12 or a group of 200, it somehow disconnects people from what it is to follow the life of the Spirit from the earliest days. And one of the things I don't think we wrestle with well when I was a pastor of one of these Sunday morning entities is, what are we doing that is anything like what the early church did? They never met for 300 years in anything larger than house-sized, because it was relational. It was more communicative, and it was more learning to rely on the Spirit together than it was, here's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I want to underline with Steve, man, if you find a place like he's describing and you've been in some place like that and it nurtures your spirit and frees you to walk with Jesus, by all means, enjoy it and invite people to come with you.
Yes, but absolutely.
But if that doesn't fulfill, and I think I've said this about Sunday morning things, I think oftentimes they're like kindergarten. They're really good when you're young and new and you get some good Bible grounding and you meet some people and you begin to discover what fellowship is, but then at some point it begins to feel more constrictive than liberating. And when that happens, I think it's the idea of even college, you teach college. If you've got somebody in your college class for 40 years, something's wrong.
Yes.
The goal was to teach them something so they can go out and thrive, not get your grips around them so they've got to be there forever. I'm not sure Steve's suggesting that at all, but I think that's a lot of people that I talk about who've been part of these for a long, long time and just says, like the early letter I read about, I need to follow Jesus without the religious components of performance and identity and trying to get along with a managed spirituality. And this God journey champions that. It champions people who want to move beyond the restrictions of religion, which isn't a Sunday morning gathering. I'll say it again. That's not what we're talking about. It's how religion often penetrates those environments, and it becomes more about going along with the program than it is listening, discerning, and responding to the Spirit working in me. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not. Yes. It's not an institution. It's not even the Bible. It's the thing that gives us hope is that the Spirit dwells in us. And as we learn to follow him and learn to respond to his nudges and insights, that's what will lead us into the fullness of Christ and community.
I needed to hear that I had permission to explore the life of Christ wherever I found it, whether it was on the mountain fly fishing, whether it was at a coffee shop having a conversation with some good friends, whether it was in a traditional Sunday morning gathering experience and the Holy Spirit is just completely colliding with my heart in something that somebody's sharing or a worship song that's being sung, like, but that it wasn't bound to one experience. And that was the big thing of, like, for me anyway, the primary space that I was told that I was to encounter the life of Christ was in this four-wall setting. Yep. And then outside of that, there might be some nice bonuses and some nice cherries on top or whatever. But if you really want to find the life of Christ, it's only found in these Sunday morning gatherings. And then outside of that, as long as you're connected to a Bible study that's a part of that institution, as long as, all of these things, that it's like, gosh, Lord, are you bigger than this? Are you bigger than these four walls that we've created and that you're living and active and pursuing people's hearts outside of this specific environment? Yep. And is it okay to say, yes, I'm encountering the bride of Christ here too. I'm experiencing community here too. I'm learning to be loved by the Holy Spirit here too, not just only in that experience or primarily in that experience.
or preferably in that experience.
Or preferably, yes, preferably, absolutely. Yeah, and that's, I mean, even just the spaces, this is why I really like the idea of going out and just learning what it means to be loved or to enjoy healthy community with other people is really finding out, okay, where am I well received? Where is there good, healthy conversation? Because in my life, there's been, I think about two individuals that I was very closely connected to, significant mentors in my life. Both of them were huge helps in my life in different stages of my journey. The challenge was that one of them, who was a very charismatic mega church pastor, was extremely defensive when I started to ask questions.
Yep.
And the other one, who was a pastor for 30 years before he retired to be a counselor for people who are in the pastoral ministry, he held those questions incredibly well. And there was just this space of love and encouragement of, okay, I want you to explore. I want you to see where God is inviting you to go. And I think whether it's spiritual context or a Christian context or not, learning how to do relationship well, I think is so incredibly valuable. Because when you get into an environment, whether it is a religious environment, whether it has a faith name to it or not, you're able to start to recognize, is this a healthy relationship or is this a toxic environment? Are there relational things that are here that are actually manipulating me, that are causing harm, that are causing emotional manipulation, gaslighting, all of these different things, whether it's in a spiritual community, a faith community, a religious setting, learning those attributes of what did Jesus invite us into when he said healthy relationship, healthy community, starting to build those characteristics where our yuck meter, then all of a sudden is like, no matter what setting you're in, your yuck meter is like, I'm not good with that. Like that, I'm not willing to be trespassed. I'm not willing to have the Christ in me dishonored in that way. That's not okay because I'm feeling like I'm getting trampled on. That moves us into those relational spaces where we can even, as Steve said, we can even recognize that this is a healthy body of Christ that is going to enrich my relationship, that I get to serve in, that I get to be connected to, but that also, like, there's that mutual back and forth of community that's taking place, and I can celebrate that. If you can't recognize the skill, like the characteristics of healthy relationship, then you don't know whether it is or it isn't.
Or sensitivity to the spirit is part of that as well, not just the relational reality. Because there's times when people talk about, you get into small group stuff, particularly the house church movement a while back. And it turned out, we're all in here and we're all talking because we followed this, you know, one of you has a hymn, one of you has a psalm, one of you has this, and it's all building up in the body of Christ. But it was mostly pooled ignorance. It wasn't people on significant journeys that were helping others find theirs. It was people who were showcasing their need for attention by being in charge of a group. And so however you're going to find the life of Jesus and relational community, you need to have that. You need to not be relationally challenged, as most religion makes us, because it's more about pretense than it is about authenticity. And that's what makes it problematic. Find that and you find life.
Yeah.
And if that's inside four walls, so be it. But I'm not sure everyone understands the challenges of both. The challenge of living it relationally, there's certainly challenges there. Challenges of going to a thing and becoming part of a program is also a challenge. But it can be good, Steve. We're not saying it isn't. I hope that makes sense. Well, we'll try this again somewhere down the road, Kyle. We'll see if we get better internet connection. We may miss a few till Sarah and I get home, but we'll see what we can do.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.